This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The premiere of The Gilded Age is over, but we're just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. I'm Jess Sterling, here to talk about the premiere, Never the New, with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, are you feeling fancy today? Are you sad that no one came to your party?
I was going to say I'm so glad that you've joined me for my soiree. I was really worried you wouldn't show up, but here we are.
And the good news is we have 70 pounds of lobster to eat just between the two of
us. Just between the two of us. Yeah, I mean, our soiree might consist of literally two people within the StreamYard booth. But, I mean, we're just hoping that somebody shows up.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, if I knew that that was the spread at the Russell household, you know I'm showing up just to try some
of
that food.
No, I don't know if I liked anything that was on the menu. I don't want the lobster salad, and it's been sitting out, like, for hours.
Does lobster salad have mayonnaise in it? Because if it does and it's been sitting out, do they have mayonnaise?
And then they're like, let's give it to the poor.
Let's give it all. It's been sitting out for ages.
Give it to the church. They'll eat it. There's the giant fish, which did not seem appealing to me either.
A lot of fish. A lot of turkey.
Like, yeah. I didn't see anything in the menu that I really wanted.
That's fair. I mean,
not to roast the Russells even further.
I know, they're already sad. Mrs. Russell's crying in her bed, and you're gonna roast her about her party, Sarah?
Bertha Russell retreating to her all pink bedroom is the biggest mood that I've ever witnessed in my life. I'm going to go retire to my bed quarters. Don't see me, George. I possibly can't have you here.
Yes, she was so, I'll never give up. I'll make them pay one day.
I'll make them pay. Bertha. Yeah, Bertha is the drama. And, like, it's really sad that, like, I have to, like, stan somebody named Bertha and be like, Bertha, like, girl, like, get it together.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard. Like, I don't know why the Russells have to have such, like, hard names between Gladys and Bertha.
Larry. And, well, George is a good name. Larry's
George
fine.
Listen,
we're in the 1880s. Okay. Like, we're going to get the Agneses and the Berthas and the Gladyses. And, like, that's what we're going to get.
Okay. Well, Bertha and Gladys were really showing up, I guess, in this first premiere episode.
Oh my gosh. This show, man, like, we got right into it. I would say straight off the bat, like, big Downton Abbey in New York vibes, right? Like,
right.
We get the, because I think a staple of Downton Abbey is obviously the mansion, right? Like, that is a character in and of itself. And I feel like this season of The Gilded Age, the Russell household is going to be the Downton Abbey castle in a sense.
I don't know.
You don't think that grand entryway, like the chandelier?
So it's grotesque because it's so opulent. And it's like, it's kind of like, yeah, like, it's spectacular and it's gorgeous, but it's exactly what, like, new money would do.
Oh, yeah. You know? This is why Agnes hates it, because she's old money.
Yeah, like you would spend all of your money on this gigantic chandelier and all this grand stuff and the size, the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing. Like, this existed. They were huge mansions on the streets of New York City back in the day. And you know what they are now? Apartment buildings that have like 30 apartments in it.
Yeah.
But they were humongous, literal mansions on the streets of New York. And yeah, this is kind of what we see. It's so much. And that's kind of like why Agnes is like, this is disgusting.
Well, Agnes,
this monstrosity
not...
that's been building, yes, months between across the way.
Well, that, and they got a new architect. Like, they got a new builder. Yeah. Someone
European
that is...
European architect.
Exactly.
How bold of you.
How modern.
To get... they don't have British accents.
I know, but I can't help myself.
how bold of you to not go with the same architects that have built up half the city.
Yes. So, Agnes is very turned off by this. Yeah. So, yeah. I figured we'll talk through, you know, a little bit of our thoughts. If you're new here, hi, hello. I am Jess. That is Sarah. We put out a couple of podcasts previously just to get you ready for this. I'm sure we'll be referring a little bit to Downton Abbey just because it's so easy to, with the same creator, Julian Fellowes. A lot of similar vibes, I think, so we'll get into that. But I just wanted to kind of stop down and, you know, we're talking Never the New. This is the premiere. It's a big episode. It's an hour and a half long. There's a lot to get through. There's a lot of characters. I apologize. I'm going to screw some people's names up because I just met them.
We're really going to try, but there is so many people. It's an embarrassment of riches of characters.
Truly, truly. Yeah. So let's break all this down. Like we said, so it's old money versus new. This is like, I think, the tagline. This is going to be the main premise of the show. Unlike Downton Abbey, where it's kind of like the old ways are dying off and they're trying to cling to this tradition. Mm-hmm. The Gilded Age, I think it's very much like this has arrived. Like, money is new and we have the old money versus the new money. And nobody seems to be getting along. So standouts for you in terms of characters, you know, who stood out to you? I feel like Carrie Coon might be the obvious pick here, as Mrs. Russell, Bertha herself.
Yeah, Carrie Coon was very interesting to watch. Obviously, we're seeing her story. It's kind of funny because they mentioned that they've been there in New York City for 3 years while their new home has been being built, but they had to like slum it on 30th Street.
I know, I love that. I can't be stuck down on 30th Street. The audacity. I could
which
never.
Is really, really funny considering 30th Street is... It's a fine place.
Yeah. So Sarah, for those who don't know, Sarah used to work in New York City. So you're, I mean,
yeah,
your proximity, you're very close to it.
I commuted into New York City for 10 years. I was close to 30th Street at times. Now, I mean, 30th Street's not the nicest. I mean, obviously you want to be, on the Upper West Side, Upper East Side. 61st Street is a great place to be. You want to be on Fifth Avenue. You want to be Central Park, Central Park West.
Oh, speaking of Central Park, we have to talk about that opening because I apologize. Yeah. We skipped right over it.
We're so excited.
We are. There's so much to talk about. But like 1882 Central Park. And
yeah,
I mean, I've been to New York. I've been to Central Park. And it's so fascinating to see. It's just like this beautiful, like, foresty area. There's no, like, this is not the Central Park that you think of now. And
yeah,
you just see, like, horses on carriages, like, driving by. Just, like, I thought that was a great opening shot, knowing that this is a New York show, to kind of start off with, like, very, very old Central Park.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And going back to what I was saying, like, Central Park West is where the rich people lived. And it's really funny, like, talking about, like, horse-drawn carriages, like, they used to have, like, garages but for horses, and like you would like drive it. It's very cool. I mean, if you ever want to talk about New York City architecture, it's like was very, very neat and how it's been adapted to modern times. But yeah, like seeing New York back in 1880s is really, really cool. And it was gorgeous. We just got a brand new TV in my household, and gosh darn it, this show is gorgeous. It is a beautiful show.
I think that for me, what it may have lacked in like plot at times during this premiere, because I don't think it's a perfect premiere. I don't think it's a perfect pilot. It's really, really hard, though, to make a perfect pilot, especially when you have as many characters as this show has that they need to introduce to all of us. I do think that something that they got right was just the detailing and the like, the costuming, the design. It all felt so lavish, so extravagant. I mean, obviously we have Ada, Agnes, Marion, and Mrs. Russell, just like all their dresses, especially something about Carrie Coon just screams like regal. Like she's so regal. She's just so like, she just has this, her in this role, she carries herself with such just like confidence. I want to bottle it and like wear this perfume.
She has a lot to prove. I think one of my favorite outfits was the first outfit that we saw her in.
Yes, with the feather.
So there was like feathers. It was like that light blue. And then there was the hat with, yes, feathers.
A giant feather, yeah.
And I think that she had like pearls draped on her overcoat or her dress. It was fabulous. I loved it. I think that was probably my favorite outfit that I saw in this episode. So like at least I believe.
Well, I feel like her, or maybe like if you want to fight, like I feel like you're probably right. But the other runner-up for me would then be Marion's yellow dress. Very reminiscent of, like, a Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh,
like
the dress that she wore to the soiree.
Yes. I just thought it was gorgeous. Like, I mean, obviously, like, she's beautiful. So anything she wears, right, is going to look amazing. Louisa Jacobson, that is. But I just think that Marion just looks so beautiful, especially with, like, the blue overcoat. Hiding it. But yeah, I just think like, I don't know. I think the standout for me is probably Carrie Coon in the premiere episode. I think Bertha is an interesting character, a little bit one note, and obviously her determination of like needing new friends. Like she's not interested in seeing her old friends. She spent 2 years having this house built. And like, for what though? There's four of them. Her son is probably not going to be living with them much longer. He just graduated college. What is the point, right? Like, why is she doing this? What is the motivation?
Because they have to prove. They have to make themselves known in New York City. There's, like, the Russells are social climbers. And, I don't know, like, Carrie Coon's a standout, and I have, like, we have, like, a lot to talk about, like, all of her storylines. She's one of the main characters, if not maybe even the main character. But, like, did I like Bertha Russell? No. Is she the drama? Yeah.
We supposed to, though? Because I think after this episode, the only people we're probably really supposed to like are Marion and Peggy. And, like, maybe Ada. Probably. Like, maybe Ada we're supposed to like. But I don't think we're necessarily supposed to. I definitely don't think we're supposed to like the Russells, with the exception of probably Larry. And like, obviously Gladys.
Larry. I mean, thank goodness for her son, Larry.
I can't with the. I mean, we have to stop down just for a second and talk about the meet cute between Mary and Larry.
Gosh.
Were you dying?
This was the best moment probably of my life. We have Marion. She's walking their Cavalier King Charles Spaniel,
which
pumpkin,
love.
Which is one of my only like favorite dog breeds ever. Like I have a specific dog breed. I love Shih Tzus. If I didn't have a Shih Tzu, I would have a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. This dog is named Pumpkin. Pumpkin escapes, and this man, this attractive man who just graduated Harvard University, stops the car and says, "Stop right now. I have to save Pumpkin." And he saves a dog. How can you not love this attractive dude that graduated Harvard that is a dog saver? Automatically in love with him.
The show really, like, that's the thing I would say, that I don't know if this is like a pro or a con. It was very heavy-handed with some of this stuff.
Slapped you silly, like Marianne and Larry are going to be a thing, and it's going to be dramatic because it's like the Hetfields and McCoys, like they're not going to like them.
It was very much like speaking of Cynthia Nixon, reminded me of Sex and the City when Charlotte, that's how she meets her first husband, whatever his face is.
Trey.
Yes, was that whole, it was a very similar
was
type
it
of meet
another
cute.
Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
So it's just like that was very heavy handed, but still like very Downton Abbey at times can get soap opera-y, and I imagine this show might as well, lest we forget that the show originally was slated to be a network television show. So I think honestly it does give off that vibe at times with how heavy handed it can be. There's not a ton of subtlety in the premiere. Again, I give it a little bit of forgiveness because it is a premiere and we are just learning who these characters are. But yeah, like the introduction of Larry meeting Marion was very funny, and I
very enjoyable.
Burst out laughing watching it.
Loved it. Yeah. I think that for me, like, the standout was Marion and Peggy. So Peggy is played by Danae Benton. Mm-hmm. I liked their introduction to each other as well, and I like their developing friendship throughout the episodes. So we first meet Marion. So we learn that her father just passed away. She's in mourning clothes, all black, and she finds out by the family lawyer, I guess, that her dad left her no money. Like, he spent all the money. The house that they owned was rented. She winds up, like, selling her furniture, I guess, $30 to her name, basically, is what she has. And she goes off to live with her aunts. And on her way, she has to take a train.
It's like Danae. Going from Pennsylvania to Peggy. New York. Yeah, going from Pennsylvania to New York is not as simple as like getting in a car and driving, obviously, back then.
No.
Like, you're going from train to ferry to like another train. We hear it from Ada. We hear all the steps
and she
earlier.
Gives the process, she gives the whole like Amtrak directions
Here's
to get
the thing.
There.
I'm Agnes, and I'm like, are you going to be
Oh my God, this line was so funny. What'd she say?
Are you going to work for a travel agency? Then why are you telling me any of this?
She was a little snippy, but it was very, very funny.
Well-earned snippiness, I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not an easy trek. And so then obviously like there's like a fight and someone steals. Well, it's very sad. Whatever Miss Brooks Marion had left to her name, it gets stolen. And Peggy takes some, you know, pity on her and she buys her a ticket. And Peggy, you know, I think it's interesting that in this show, you know, we do have a person of color, and it is unlike the Bridgerton where it was like blind casting and they don't talk a ton about like the race stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this show it's very obvious, like a lot of the help seem to be very racist and very uncomfortable with Peggy's presence.
The downstairs was trash. Hated them. They were
for the
all
most
awful.
Part. Well, no, for I the like most the part. Young kid. I love the young kid. I apologize. I don't know his name yet, but his accent killed me. I'm pretty sure he had like a Staten Islandy accent. And he was very like chipper. I thought that the butler himself at
Not
least
bad.
Was like putting the other
a
lady in
effort.
Her place.
But the rest of them, terrible.
They're not iconic yet. Granted, obviously we don't have as many downstairs people as we did Church. In Downton Abbey.
So the butler's name is Mr. Church, or just regular Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we like him. He's doing fine. But yeah, like it was extremely uncomfortable watching how the downstairs treated Peggy.
Yep.
And Peggy is a educated, like, very intelligent young woman. She's a writer. She went to a very fine school mm-hmm. that is well known from Pennsylvania that Agnes and Ada both knew, and they both, like, gave money to it, and there was, like, some connections, and she has amazing penmanship, and she winds up being Agnes's secretary, which it's so funny because it's like, Agnes is like, you can be my secretary, and by my secretary I just mean you can write my letters for me and, like, pay my bills, I guess. It's like, this is very like low stakes work.
I love that Agnes is just like, oh, I have so many letters to write, oh, I don't have time for any of this, oh, I have to sit. Like, Agnes, literally all you did all episode was sit on a couch. Like, did you get up at really all did. Like, she literally was always sitting, like,
or I never telling Marion, like, what she should not do.
Yeah, Marion, you can't wear black. I only want to see colorful colors, okay? Everybody listening to me? Like,
you have Agnes, to be cheery.
Agnes is a whole ass mood, and I really appreciate it. I feel like the casting department knew what they had in Christine Baranski. Like, she pulls off that attitude. I gotta say, I was very impressed with her. I thought she did a very good job of, like, establishing who Agnes is. Whereas, I gotta say, Cynthia Nixon's portrayal of Ada... I don't know if it's for me. Like, I just feel like she's overly cheery in a way where I'm like, I don't really know the rest of her personality yet. And granted, this is just the premiere. And the only time where I kind of saw a glimpse of maybe who Ada could be is when she has the heart-to-heart with Marion. And she's right. just like, listen, as long as you listen to your morals, that's, like, your best, that's your compass, that's your best guide. And I was like, okay, we got a little bit more from Ada.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was definitely her best moment of the episode. We get her kind of telling the story about why... their father, or Marion's father, Henry, who's a brother of Agnes and Ada, why that was a falling out. Apparently, he got sole possession of, like, the family farms and the family home where they grew up, and sold it all, spent all the money. The sisters got no money of it, which forced Agnes to marry into a very abusive and unsafe situation. And that's kind of the grudge that they've been holding against Henry, and ultimately, you know, Marion of sorts. They see potential in Marion, but also they realize that she's quite like her father. She's strong-willed and is not going to be somebody that there is easily malleable, because she has a mind for herself. And I think, like, another line that I really liked was she has strong, like, opinions, and revolutions are caused by strong views and excess energy. And I thought that was a really interesting line. And the whole episode's theme was kind of like, new thoughts are scary for people with conservative ideals, or traditional or old views, because it's new and new things are scary, and that means that, like, their old history.
Agnes is very obviously threatened by, you know, not only the monstrosity across the street and the new money coming in, but then, you know, she's kind of confronted with Marion and her own past, which I'm really curious about, because it seems like Marion doesn't really have a bad word to say about her father. Now, I don't really know if that is just solely out of family loyalty, because obviously he left her high and dry, right? He led her to believe the house was owned, not rented. She had no idea that she would only have $30 to her name in the event of his death. So obviously there's some stuff he wasn't telling her, but I'm very curious to know a bit more, and I'm curious to know if they'll do any type of flashbacks with the siblings, with Ada, Agnes, and the father, Henry, because that does intrigue me. I gotta be honest, like, I mean, I know Henry is dead, but I'm really curious to see a little bit more of their dynamic maybe in the past. Right. But yeah, like it makes sense, right? Like Agnes, they have the line Ada says about Agnes's late husband, Mr. Van Ryn. Mr. Van Ryn is not a man you want to be alone with, which I feel like is all we need to know about him, that like he was probably abusive, not the nicest. And Agnes was stuck, right? The only reason she married him was because they didn't have anything else. They didn't have nowhere else to turn to because they didn't have any money. So that was why she married him. And kind of stuck it out, basically.
Yeah.
And so I can understand why Agnes would be jaded, you know, and skeptical.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marion, she says, like, when Marion talks, I hear Henry. Like, she is her father's daughter. So I'm sure that's kind of a hard thing to watch if it causes you pain to see somebody that is so much like your brother who you do not have a good relationship with. I am curious about Marion's mother. I don't think that we heard where she is in this picture. No. Obviously, she's not with us anymore left or something, because
she's not around is all we know.
That's all we know.
I don't know that she's even mentioned. We hear that, like, from I think it's Agnes who says, like, oh, he spent all his money on like drinks and women and blah blah blah. So I don't know if we even know who Marion's mother is. Does she know who her mother is, right? Like, there's certainly that possibility. But yeah, all of that is very interesting. I think the family dynamics are super interesting here. I like that we're getting, again, I'm going to mention it. Drink every time I mention Downton Abbey. I'm sorry, I cannot help it. It feels like a very similar vibe to this show. I like that we're getting the different age grouping. So not only are we seeing the upstairs versus the downstairs who are the help, but we also have the different generations. So we have Agnes and Ada, obviously much older than Mrs. Russell, Bertha, but like they're all of the same type of generation, right? And then all of their children. And so we have, so we have Marion, who we just talked a lot about. She is new in town. We have Larry, who we talked about, their meet cute. I'm very impressed with Larry so far. He seems to be more open-minded. I mean, he wants to make friends. I think he's in a tough spot where his mom is like, his family is the pariah of the town, basically.
Yeah. And his friendship with Caroline Astor, who was that brunette girl that was at that like fancy party, Carrie. Her nickname is Carrie. She's interesting. She is a minor character, but we see her with Larry, and we see her with Oscar, and she's in the same age group as Marion and even Gladys, but she has like more power because she's from like a really wealthy family.
She's from old money family. Yeah,
so she's interesting. Like, I think that she can definitely be maybe competition in like the Marion Larry type of thing. I'm sure she wants to put her hat in the ring.
Oh, it seems like she was being set up with him for sure.
Yeah, so that I thought that was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I definitely think this premiere is more like setting up the dominoes for them to fall later, because this show didn't have, unlike Bridgerton, a ton of like risque stuff yet. I think that like, because it's just the first episode, I think we're setting a lot of that up. I'm thinking Miss Turner, who is the maid.
Oh, Miss Turner.
Very obviously I is wrote a Miss Turner.
Yeah, I wrote Miss Turner is a, she's a H.O. Like, she is going after Mr. George, for sure.
Very obviously, again, this show was very heavy-handed, and like immediately we know she's into George. Okay, great. She's into George Russell.
And she hates, so she's like the dresser of Bertha, and she despises Bertha.
And she'll let everybody know it, which is interesting, because I feel like in like when I again comparing this to Downton Abbey, like if one of the people that were in the downstairs bad talked whoever they worked for, like the main person, the butler, the main head butler, or however you want to say it, would be like, excuse me, we don't talk about them like that. But here it seems like people kind of yeah, people kind of put up with it. People
well,
kind of
they're put Americans. Up with they like to gossip. Do you expect anything less? We have like the proper British workers that would never speak ill of who they work for. And then we have these Americans that are like talking smack downstairs, living in the home that they were working in and just gossiping. I mean, to be honest, the downstairs in Downton Abbey, they gossiped all damn day, but still.
It's just very different because it's not as like formal, I don't think.
Right.
And so, yeah, so we have Miss Turner, who's obviously going to be a thorn in someone's side. Yeah. One of my favorites from, well, I had two favorites, I think, from the Russell maid staff. I don't know what to call them, the downstairs. Let's just call them the downstairs because it's easier. I loved Watson, who was the bald man, like tending to, I believe he's like the main man for George Russell, is how I thought it was. I don't know for sure what his title is.
Michael Severus. That dude's a big deal.
He was so good, I thought. I just thought, like, I liked, he felt like very sneaky. Like, he knows things, you know?
Oh, I'm sure he knows tons of things.
He's going to be another one to watch, I think, in terms of, like, stirring the pot.
Yeah, talking about Broadway, he is a huge Broadway guy. I saw him, I believe, in Fun Home. He was in the show Fringe as well.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a standout. And then obviously, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I loved the French Chef. I thought he was so persnickety. And like, this is going to make almost everybody either roll their eyes or like have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you have seen the film with the amazing Mary-Kate and Ashley, Passport to Paris. My God. The French chef in that film, he gave me those vibes where he's like very persnickety, very like, and what am I supposed to do with this? Like, he's like always in a tizzy. He's never pleased. Like, he's just like, and how am I supposed to prepare all this food? Like, he's
just like, he's just like, I've never made food for the poor before.
Yes, please, please, more of him. I thought he was very funny. So yeah. Those were like some of my standouts in terms of the staff.
He was great. Another theater veteran, Douglas Sills. We talked about this in one of our preview podcasts. They really took from Manhattan's theater group of people. It's really, really awesome how much theater veterans that they have in this show. And once again, that was Monsieur Bodin, the chef of the Russell House.
We will eventually learn their names, I hope. I apologize to everyone who's like racking the reins. It's very difficult with so many characters.
There's a lot of people.
But I thought like those two were the standouts for me, besides Miss Turner, who's just obviously going to get in all types of trouble Russell.
Yeah, I thought that she was interesting because like she just left like an old money family up on like 50th Street or whatever. And her old employer just passed away, so she's just like, she's like, Bertha will never be my old employer. She doesn't have the stock.
It's very interesting that like not only do the actual people that are very rich have these like very elitist like, oh I'm old New York, not new New York, I'm old money, not old new money. Even the help has the same vibe of like, she's new money, she's trash. It's ridiculous.
It really is. I mean, honestly, like, money is money. Yeah. I'll take any money. I don't care if it's
that's
new
what
or
I'm saying
old.
You want to make me new money, okay, great. You want to make me old money, also on board. I will take the money in whatever way it comes.
I'll take any money.
We still have so much more to get through with the premiere of The Gilded Age, but we will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. I think one of the other things causing issues with like the Russells fitting in is not just that they're new money, but like the way they make their money is through George Russell, yes, who is like – Okay, so obviously he's very handsome. The actor is gorgeous. Morgan Spector. Like, can we, like, it's impossible not to love him. Look at that beard. Anyway, the point is, get off on a complete tangent about him. He's dreamy. He, like, doesn't see, he seems like a villain. Like, he's basically, he works for the railroad. He's, like, building railroads. And he has a ton of money. And he gets his way through, like, very aggressive, like, intimidating means. He's not above, like, blackmailing right. or, like, you know, holding someone's feet to the fire, basically, to get what he wants.
Right, exactly. So I think, like, the standout scene, I call these scenes, like, boring railroad business talk, and I'm gonna try really.
It's hard to pay attention.
It's like I really want to see like the fancy dresses and the yeah. drama and the parties, and it's like okay, now we're gonna go and like go to business school and like talk about railroad stuff. So I'm like okay, I gotta pay attention, But so we have the scene that stands out to me where he's talking to. Some other yeah. railroad tycoon, and he's like, I'm going to build a competing railroad right next to yours, and it's gonna put yep. you out of business. And the old dude was like, don't do that, like that is going to murder me, like just like, you know, let's make a deal, like buy out my railroad. And he's like, no, you didn't want to take my yeah. my offer, so I'm just gonna destroy you instead. And yeah, like it is like a little villainesque, but he has like a business mind, and he is going to rock this city to the core. Like he is like going to become like the most like powerful businessman in the city and in maybe even the country, because he is building trains to go to from New York to Chicago to wherever. And this is like a big need in this time because, you know, like planes are not as accessible.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people travel by train to go from place to place. So it's important.
Yes. I think that like that stuff was probably my least favorite stuff because it's the business stuff, yeah. right? It's not like the family drama. And I know I covered the show Succession, so like what am I even talking about? But like I don't know, I do think it's compelling that like that's the way he earns his money, and he is such an aggressive character in that way. And I think him, it makes perfect sense that George and Bertha would be together because they both are very like powerful, hungry people.
Ambitious. Yes,
they're very ambitious. And Bertha knows what she wants. And what she wants is to be the elite of the elite. And it very much feels like she wants Gladys. She refuses to let Gladys like come out, is what, you know, what they call it when they're like on the market to right. marry now. But she yeah. refuses to let her come out until she has made her way into the wealth of where she lives now. Like, she wants to be known by the people. She wants to throw this big party that everyone is going to come to because they can't help themselves. They're so entranced by the architecture and the design that they'll have to. They'll be so curious. They want to know what's inside. Turns out she's wrong. And, like, mm-hmm. there is a lot of societal pressures for no one to show up because she is new money and no one respects new money. No one likes new money. I don't think any of them appreciate how they make their new money. And so no one is showing up, basically.
Yeah. But also, like, I just want to, like, really press on how showy mm-hmm. this house is. And to the fact that it's almost, like, offensive how I guess like the 21st century term would be extra, but really it's grand to the point where it's almost offensive to be this oh, yeah. grand because it's just overly opulent and showy. So it's kind of like, even though it's all gorgeous things, it's almost
oh in yeah, bad it's taste ostentatious to the max.
Yeah, exactly. So it's even though it's like to build this giant house on the street, it's like offensive. Like people were like, this is like an eyesore and the architecture is different. And yeah. it's kind of like already they are like offended by this presence and the fact that it is this like new money family and these people that are not like generationally within New York. They're ostracized. So she plans this 200 party soiree when and maybe 20
not even
people
and they
show
stay
up,
for like 5 minutes. Yeah, none of them eat
5 minutes.
And that's the thing, it's like they know they'll get raked over the coals for even attending or like looking like they're attending, right? Like Marion has to sneak out to even make an appearance. Nobody, and you know, Oscar, obviously he's not allowed to go, Oscar Van Ryn. So it's interesting. I'm wondering how much of the show is going to be dedicated to can Bertha find her way in? And I think the only way she would be able to do that is through the charity stuff, right? Like, they want her money, and they're not afraid to ask her for her money, but they're certainly not going to give, like, a wink and a smile her direction, right? They're going to basically ignore her except when they're pandering for money.
Right. So we have Aurora Fain, who is a cousin of Agnes and Ada, some sort of family member, played by Kelly O'Hara, who is, I mean, another Broadway legend. I saw her in The King and I, and she's like beyond phenomenal. But I'm going to like try not to flip out with all these Broadway legends because I'm just like, oh, I like.
But there's so many big names. It's hard to ignore it.
It's really, really hard to not be like, oh my gosh, did you see Audra McDonald? Like, can't believe that she was there too. Insanity. So, so this cousin, I thought is really funny. She winds up going to the party so that she could like butter up Bertha for some money, but her husband didn't show up and her friend didn't show up. So basically she's like, yeah, like to be frank, I'm here for some money. And then Bertha has the audacity to be like, get out of my party. You're not welcome here. You will get none of my money. It's like, bitch, you have nobody here. Like, you're going to kick out the one person that's here.
I think what I like appreciate and also is going to not serve Bertha very well is she is very blunt and she's not afraid to speak her mind. Whereas I feel someone like Agnes will cut you with her words very quickly, but she does it in a way where you can't really point the finger at her afterwards because she's much more subtle, I think, than Bertha is.
Snippy.
And I think that one of my favorite things when it finally does happen is when we'll see Bertha and Agnes like in room speaking to one another. I think that's going to be really great for the show. I don't know how long we'll have to wait until we get that. I imagine they're going to put it off for at least, you know, halfway through the season is my guess. I think that is going to be like the big thing is when we see those two face off. Because Agnes, as much as I felt like she didn't have a ton to do in the first episode. She's a lot of like I said, I joked like very much like sitting and writing and complaining about sitting and writing. I do think she's a very interesting character. She's very calculated. She thinks about every little thing she does, even down to allowing Peggy to stay in the house and realizing, wow, like Peggy is an asset. I can keep her on staff. But also having the wherewithal to say, you need to tell your parents, like, I'm not going to be responsible for you not telling them. So you're going to have to go actually do that.
Yeah. So I think that Agnes's relationship or blossoming relationship with Peggy kind of made me not totally dislike Agnes and everything that she is. Because number one, in my opinion, I feel as though she has found a respect and an admiration for Peggy's talents. This is not like she does not see her as an equal, which is always an issue. However, she treats her a heck of a lot better than her lame servants that are terrible and disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She offers her a job that will give her opportunity. She makes sure that she's paid back in full for the services and the help that she provided. She offers her a home. I wish that she can like not live in the downstairs with all of those judgy people. But
I think it would be much worse for her if she lived upstairs because they would be judging her even more, honestly.
Probably.
But yeah, I
probably. gave her an opportunity. Yeah, I think that this allows her to get earn money and work on her writing. And yeah, like I really like how she's like, you have to go tell your parents where you are. And encourages her to talk to her mom. Peggy does not have a very good relationship with her father, and that's not totally clear. It just seems as though her father doesn't believe in her dreams of becoming a writer.
Yeah, that was also very heavy-handed, in my opinion, of like, oh, I don't get along with my dad. Did I mention I hate my dad? Did I mention he did something that we can't speak of exactly what he did, but he definitely did something?
Yeah, that's the problem. He did something. No, everyone is, you know,
so Audra McDonald, who is her mom, obviously a huge name, played Dorothy Scott. They had like a, you know, a tea or a lunch or whatever the heck. And yeah, they kept talking around whatever it is. Like, obviously we're going to find out whatever her dad did. Like, it had to be a big deal for Peggy to not be speaking with him, to specifically go out of her way to avoid him, even though they're both in New York now, to not want to see him. So he definitely did something that, Dorothy claims was like to protect Peggy. I thought potentially, I feel like it has to be one of two things. It's either something to do with her writing, because that seems to be something that is a huge passion of hers and her dream. And so if he messed around with that, obviously that would upset her. The other thing I could think of is some kind of love interest that's going to come back up. That's where my mind goes, because this is like made by Julian Fellowes. It can be dramatic. You know, that's what we're kind of keeping our eyes out for. So it could be something like that.
I think those are two decent predictions.
But I really liked Peggy. I thought Peggy was another one of the standouts. I don't know if I mentioned her. I think I did in my list of standouts. I was very impressed with the portrayal of her. Say the woman's name, the actress's name. Danae. Okay, Danae, I want to make sure I pronounced it correctly. Danae Benton. I thought she was wonderful. I really enjoyed her and Marion meeting. I feel like I'm really going to enjoy her and Marion's friendship, but I do think there's going to be a lot of friction just because of like the fact that it's a white woman and a black woman in 1880s trying to be friends. Like, I think that's going to cause tension.
I suppose so. But also, I am really enjoying their relationship and the bonds that they're creating. And they have sort of an alliance. So I hope that's not so. I think that would be, like, pretty of easy course. To do. But we'll see. Danae Benton, also a Broadway amazing talent. I talked a little about her and Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812, which she was phenomenal in. I saw her twice.
Yeah, she really impressed me in this show. And I think
she's
very
impressive.
Just thought she, like, I really understood who Peggy was almost immediately. Whereas I do think a lot of the other characters, there's still a lot. I still have a lot of questions, which is fine. Again, this is just the premiere. But I feel like she knew who Peggy was and she had her down immediately. And obviously Peggy is super likable, so it's not, you know, Peggy seems to be a character we're going to be rooting for. So I really enjoyed her, especially her relationship and friendship with Marion. Let's dive into somebody who we haven't talked a ton about and didn't have a huge role, but ends the episode with a bit of a, you know, big of a shock. Oscar Van Ryn, who is Agnes's son. He lives out. I mean, I don't know if you did. He mention where is he, like, in Brooklyn or something? He had like a studio apartment.
I don't know where he lives. I'm sure he doesn't live in Brooklyn. Brooklyn was not what Brooklyn is today. He has to live in Manhattan somewhere. Okay. So, but yeah, he is a very. I would like to say that the first adjective that comes to mind is swarmy. He feels very swarmy.
Really? I thought he was more likable than that.
Really? I got like some like gross vibes. Like, I when he went to that fancy party where Larry was and that other fancy girl, like, I kind of felt like he was like giving, like, I don't know, like, at first I thought like weird Playboy vibes, like kind of like a Chuck from Gossip Girl type of like swarmy but and also like I can't like forget that this is Agnes's son, and I think that he probably has like a lot of his like mom's elitist ideas.
Oh, I was thinking his father's genetics, but
Maybe her. But like, I think that he like, where Larry, I feel as though is kind of immune to his family's like baggage and like,
yeah, he wants to like make his own
ideals like, about money. And he seems like a more like down to earth person, kind of like Marion is. I feel like Oscar is like here for the drama, here to stir some stuff up. Like, I don't get very like, I don't feel like safe vibes from him. Like, I can see him like being a real like pot stirrer and
you're
all of this.
You're probably right. I don't know. I guess I had hope because he's of a different generation than like Agnes and Ada.
But I think that he's a perfect example of this generational thing, like keeps going and going because what you learn is from your parents. Like, Marion's different. Larry is different, probably because he did not grow up with money. And this Oscar guy, he's grown up with money and status his entire life. So I think that he will continue to like pick up whatever his dad was doing, what his mom is doing. That's the vibes. Now, the interesting thing about him is that he has the secret that he's gay and he has this relationship with this guy that they tried to set. It's the guy that they tried to set Marion up with, right? Like, didn't they have this guy over to meet Marion and he like gave her, like paid her no mind?
Yes. You know, okay. Yes. I was, when he popped up in the scene with Oscar, I mean, we are recording this like literally right after we watched the episode. When he popped up, I was like, this guy looks familiar, but I can't figure out who he is. That is who he is. That makes sense. So he.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Agnes brought this dude. I don't even know his name. I forget. I thought he was like another cousin or something. Who knows? Brought him to like be like, Marion, like, look at this eligible bachelor that you can hook up with. And she was like, you know, flirting in an 1880s way. And he was like, whatever. Don't even want to look at you. You're not interesting to me. And then we find out that like he's involved with Larry Oscar.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep mixing that up. I'm going to try not to. Involved with Oscar at the end of the episode, which is spicy.
I think that was the first moment where I was like, oh, okay, things are getting spicy now. Like, there's secrets.
Yeah.
Like, there's drama. There's tea. Because I gotta be honest, like, I feel like the first episode didn't have as much, but I think we're just getting started.
Now, you felt like it was
a little dry. I feel like it's a lot of, like I said, I think it's a lot of setup. I think we're gonna have a ton more later, but I think it's a lot of setup and there's not as much drama to begin with. And I think that Oscar is going to bring the drama, both with his own secrets, but usually if people have secrets, they're going to try to like divert attention away from themselves to keep their secrets. So I'm wondering if maybe he will be a bit of a pot stirrer as well. Because like you said, if he's very smarmy, and also, like, I could easily see him being, you know, a bit of a pot stirrer.
Yeah. Also, I'm very interested in thinking like if it gets out to Agnes, like how is she going to react to all of this? I think that that's going to be a big drama. It's going to be interesting. We also see Peggy's writing at the end of the episode.
Oh, and she knows she's like, writing all about the drama.
All about this. Oh, yeah. I know. I thought that.
She's going to get herself fired
too.
In 5 seconds. She lets a peep out about this old money household, ma'am.
I know. Of course, we see Bertha like crying in her pink bedroom.
I'm sorry.
Which is such a mood.
That bedroom looked like Pepto-Bismol threw up on it. Like, it is so pink.
Jessica, it was fine. Like,
how does
if
she
you're
sleep?
Gonna do it, then
like,
do
how does
it.
She sleep? You could see the pink through your eyelids when you're sleeping.
I just close your eyes. It was a lot, but it was fun. And George, I feel like George is like a decent husband. He's like, do you want me here? Like, I think that this is like, you know, like this is her bedroom and then they have like their own bedroom. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
Like, he probably has his bedroom. So like he's like, do you want me here? And she's like, I need alone time, but also I'm going to get revenge on these people.
Yeah, I feel like they're very much a power couple in the sense that they obviously love each other. But I feel like if one of them lost like the success or the power that they had, the other one would no longer like be attracted to them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
like they probably feed off of each other's like ambition and want and like striving. Yeah. And if the other one was not like working towards like a grander goal, like would they find them interesting?
I think that's going to be a touching point for the show. I think
that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
I could see it. But the one other thing I want to mention, you tell me what you think if this is something that's going to come back. Was there like a vibe? Was there like an energy between Marion and the driver? I think his name is like Mr. Ranks, who brought her to the train.
There were looks. Girl,
there were looks. They were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there. She was like, he was like, can I like escort you to the train?
Can I write you? And she's like,
can I?
No.
Can I write you?
Oh my god, you might have asked me to go to bed like, with you. Oh my god.
And he's like, well, I just wanted a job, actually. And then she's like, okay, never mind. Like, you can totally, like, write to me. He's just totally, kidding. That's totally fine.
You can totally see down the line them setting it up where, like, her and Larry are, like, finally about to, like, get together. And in comes Mr. Rinks, who's, like, again, very Downton Abbey, like, chauffeur vibes. Like, oh, he's outside of your station. He's below you. He's not any money, let alone new money. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was definitely like an interesting that vibe as well. What else are we missing?
I'm trying to think, like, we about covered most of the
I do agree with you. Like, I do think that Ada, we need more, like, has she just been like a sister this whole time?
She calls herself a spinster, so I don't she's never been married or had kids or anything. No.
A girl's greatest fear is being a spinster.
I'm hoping that she's less one note in the future. I would say, like, overall, because we're kind of wrapping up, I would say overall my feelings on the episode were it feels like it's setting a lot up. It didn't feel super plot heavy. Like, I didn't really know what the show was driving at, right? I think they're hitting some key points and they're hitting them hard and they're smacking me in the face with them. It's very heavy handed, but I think the little glimpses of like the drama and the tea and all of that I would come to expect from this show, I think we are going to get. There were some standout performances. I mean, obviously the cast is stacked, but it's a wonder. I wonder a little bit if like the actual content is going to be enough for them, because you can have an amazing actor and give them a terrible script and then it's not going to be great. But it did give me, if you're a fan of Downton Abbey and you're just listening to this podcast because you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to check out the show, I would say check it out, because it does remind me of that. Like, it gives me the same kind of like production value, right? Where you're like following people in around the kitchens and kind of like the tinkling of the bell when someone's at the door. And the score does give me kind of Downton Abbey vibes. And there's a ton of characters we're still getting to know. So I say I'm going to be patient and like see where it goes. I think that the premiere was okay, but I'm excited to see what happens from here now that we know who these characters are, you know? How about you? What are your like kind of overarching thoughts on the premiere?
I believe that I'm higher on the premiere than you. I think that for me, what lacks in maybe plot, which I don't know if I totally agree with, I think that there is like enough inklings to things to feed my appetite. I think what it might lack in some of the plot points is the costuming, is the setting, is the details, the music, the cinematography. So I really enjoyed this premiere. I do think that maybe if you and I have to take notes, I think that if I wasn't like paying extreme attention to the episode, like maybe I would have, my attention may have weighed a little bit, but I was very much enjoying it the entire time and I was not bored at all. I do think that there are definitely like things that are set up that can be very exciting, and I do think that like it feeds that like historical drama hole that has been lacking in TV recently.
In addition to that, my only concern is that this first season only has 9 episodes. So how much of the story are we going to be able to see, and how much can they achieve in 9 episodes? That's kind of my concern for now. Because we don't have like Downton Abbey.
It was about the same, and they always had like the special at the end of the season.
I always forget that. Modern television, you get 8 to 9 to 10 episodes, and then you call it a season. But it's hard. It's a hard adjustment to be like, can you really tell a story,
story? They spend an hour and a half like setting up these characters, right? It's a long time to spend just on setup. So,
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm probably higher on the premiere than you. I'm looking forward to next week.
I feel like there is going to be some exciting drama coming within the next episode or two. So that is what I am very excited for. But we hope you all enjoyed talking to us. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, please do. It really does help us. PostShowRecaps.com/HBO Pod. Of course, we're here on Post Show Recaps. So if you want to become a patron of Post Show Recaps, it also super helps us. You get a ton of cool benefits at the $5 level, at the $10 level. You get access to the full Discord, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. You could chat with us about the episode there. We did get some feedback from Sarah that she also really loved the Marion outfit that I talked about earlier, the yellow outfit.
Oh, yes.
And I think she wasn't as high on Cynthia Nixon as well. I don't know. We'll see. I think there's more from her in the future. But you can be chatting with us and others and on every show out there, honestly. So join us, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon, if that is something that you are interested in. We're going to be back next week. But in the meantime, there is so much going on, both on Post Show Recaps, where you can find me on Community Building with Josh Wiggler. I just finished covering Yellow Jackets with Grace and Josh, a great Showtime show. Definitely recommend you check that one out. But beyond all we have to offer here on Post Show Recaps, you can find Sarah and I on a different podcast. Sarah, would you like to tell the people about the other podcast we are on?
Yeah, Jess and I have a podcast called Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We are we cover Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek weekly, as well as monthly bonus content, which is like 90s movies. This month we covered a 2000 movie, Final Destination.
Technically, it had Kurt Smith from Dawson's Creek, so it's allowed, people.
Right. It's justifiable. And we're also covering Little Rascals. So you're going to have to check us out there if you're a fan of any 90s nostalgia. We have so much fun over there. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. Join the discussion. I would love to hear your thoughts on the premiere of the Gilded Age.
I can't believe we're finally here. I'm so looking forward to getting into everything with you next week, Sarah. And I hope you all enjoyed this podcast. We will talk to you all next week. Bye, everybody.